You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new comprehensive review of global ocean temperature data has allowed researchers to paint a clear picture of ocean warming since the 1950s and predict future warming scenarios. They found that if we don't take action, the rate of ocean warming will be four times larger than the current level by 2090, with dire consequences for all life on Earth. However, authors also point out that if the world succeeds in limiting global surface temperature to 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, as per the Paris Agreement, the acceleration of ocean warming will stop at around 2030, highlighting the need for urgent action to mitigate climate change. Now, I spoke to Dr. Kevin Trenberth from the University of Auckland, who co-authored the study on the matter, and I started off by asking him whether these findings were surprising.
Well, not altogether. There have been other reviews, of course, and the IPCC came out with a major report last year, and there was another one focused on the oceans and the cryosphere just a year or so before that. What this review, which was requested by Nature, is much more comprehensive in many ways, and we've had a good look at what has happened and why it has happened, and also what the implications are for the future, what the projections are for the future. And I think the numbers are a lot better refined and much more reliable than in any of the previous reviews. But yeah, we know the planet is warming, and in fact, as a part of a subset of the authors that are in this review, we have put out reports, 5 times the last January's, saying that the previous year was the warmest year on record for the oceans. So in January 2022, we said, 2021 was the warmest year for the oceans. And then January 2020, we said 2019 was the warmest year on the record. And, the oceans are warming relentlessly. And so this is the main signature that the planet is actually warming, that global warming is happening, and it's mainly because of the buildup of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere from human activities.
Now, your research found that ocean warming rates predict to quadruple by 2090. This will obviously have a huge impact on sea life if this does occur. Could you give me some insight into that?
Well, yeah, firstly, if you go back to the 1950s, there wasn't much warming going on at all. In fact, the warming didn't really pick up below the surface of the ocean until about the 1970s. So statements like that can be a bit misleading because, you're comparing something which is quite substantial now to something which was not much at all not that long ago. And so warming, we can actually track the warming as a function of depth. That's one of the interesting things about the ocean, and one of the reasons why it's important, because it's so ponderous and so slow to respond. And so the warming below about 500 meters really gets detected more about the 1980s, and below 1,000 meters in the 1990s. And it's not till about 2005 that we can detect the warming in the ocean down to about 2,000 meters. And so the warming keeps building up, and it provides then a warmer ocean on top of which all of the other stuff that's going on, all of the weather, El Nino events, and this leads to things called marine heat waves that cause devastation in fisheries and marine life. And so that's sort of what's been happening.
You've mentioned how the Paris Agreement falls into this, and how what they are suggesting as far as emission cuts goes could lessen the damage.
So, I mean, the context for this is, we've established sort of what has happened up until now. We have been able to show using climate models, this is more through a number of colleagues, that indeed it is caused by mainly the human contributions to changes in composition of the atmosphere. And so when we go to the future, we have to ask what-if questions. What if we keep putting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere at this rate? And so there have been some sort of what we call scenarios put forward as to possible future trajectories that the emissions from humans and, you know, what we keep doing will be. And, you know, one of them, of course, relates to trying to get to net zero by 2050. And a number of countries have pledged to do that, although at the current time, the actions to actually get there are lagging way behind. And so if we get to net zero, we can make statements about what we expect to happen with the oceans. And indeed, the oceans keep warming. And one of the consequences of a warming ocean is that it expands. It causes sea level to rise. In addition, the extra warming in other places causes the ice on land to melt. So this is Greenland, Antarctica, glaciers. And that puts more water into the ocean. And so together, those two things cause sea level to rise. And so the best single warming that the planet, best single indicator that the planet is warming is indeed changes in the ocean heat content. But the second best one, not far behind, is rises in global sea level. And of course, this affects New Zealand. It affects coastal regions. It sets the stage for larger storm surges and flooding as a consequence of that. In addition, the warm oceans then affect the atmosphere above. And right now, one of the warmest spots around the world is actually the Coral Sea. So this is off of Queensland, off of Australia, and it's one of the ingredients that has fed tremendous amounts of moisture in northeasterlies, so to speak, that as the weather systems come across Australia, and it's led to, in part, this extensive flooding that's occurred in Victoria, in Melbourne, and related areas. And we've had a lot of storms come down to New Zealand that have been influenced by this. This is partly because of, you know, what we call a La Nina, that this pattern exists where it's quite cool east of the dateline across to South America, but it's quite warm in the far western Pacific around Indonesia and especially the Coral Sea. And we've seen a lot of an amazing number of storms that have developed just south of there and have come barreling down towards New Zealand. And, you know, one of them went barreling right into Nelson and caused extensive flooding. Another one was a little bit farther to the west and went into Buller and caused flooding. That was a little earlier. There's been a couple of them that have just gone east of the top of the North Island and have gone into the Bay of Plenty and Gisborne and Hawke's Bay. Earlier there was one that went into Taranaki on the other side. And so we've been bombarded by these storms, and they are fed in part by the very warm ocean conditions up to the north and northwest of New Zealand. And that's part the global warming, but it's also partly this La Nina pattern.
The study also found that ocean warming isn't the same everywhere, with the Southern Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean warming much faster than the Pacific and Indian Oceans. Could you tell me a bit about this and how climate change really impacts different parts of the globe?
Yeah, so certainly the global warming aspects are more uniform. But within the oceans, we have ocean currents that move heat around, and the larger warming in the Atlantic is partly because of the oceans, ocean currents that actually bring heat from the Pacific Ocean around South America and into the Atlantic, and the heat moves northwards, and some of it even goes all the way up to the Arctic. We can actually trace that. There's other aspects of it that come from the Indian Ocean that go around Africa into the Atlantic Ocean. And so the actual oceans are not warming uniformly, and this is what gives rise in part to these marine heat waves. There are some spots in the ocean that at certain times that are much warmer than the global average. And then there are some spots which are cooler. And I mentioned before that we have a La Nina right now. It's been very warm in the Coral Sea and in the even in the Tasman Sea and around New Zealand. And it's also been very warm in the North Pacific, but it's been quite cool, of course, in the tropical Pacific all the way across to South America. And this has influences on things like typhoons and hurricanes as a result.
I guess the only appropriate last question that can be asked is, how do we act on this?
Yeah, so the first thing, of course, is things related to the Paris Agreement. And number one is mitigation, as it's called. And this means cutting down on emissions, cutting down on burning fossil fuels in particular is the number one thing that needs to happen globally. And that relates also to these targets of can we get to net zero by 2050 or so? But, you know, even if we do, the oceans continue to warm because they respond very slowly and the heat penetrates slowly, and so sea level continues to rise. So it doesn't actually stop the climate change entirely. And then the second thing is to recognize that this is happening and prepare for it. So this means building resilience, assessing vulnerabilities. What parts around the coast are most vulnerable to storm surges, and what low-lying areas are most vulnerable to flooding, and try to take actions, especially to manage water. Managing water turns out to be one of the key things to do as we go into the future, because there are times when we have droughts, because there's extra heat available, so things dry out quickly. We've seen that last summer, for instance, in New Zealand. But then there are times when we have too much water. And so how do we save the water from the times when we have too much for the times when we don't have enough? So this relates to waterways. It relates to reservoirs and dams and some things that people don't like to talk about. And some environmentalists don't like dams, for instance, but they actually are very useful tools for helping to manage water. And managing water is certainly going to be one of the key things as we go into the future. And so a third aspect of what we need to do is to be well informed about what is happening and why. So this means continuing to have good observations and the processing of them and the understanding of what the cause is. You know, is this cause natural? Is it just a random weather event, or is it El Nino, or is it global warming? And what does the global warming add to the natural weather events? And so we have answers for all of those kind of things, but we certainly need to refine them and get better information that we can pass on to decision makers of all kinds.
That was Dr. Kevin Trenberth from the University of Auckland, who co-authored the study looking at ocean warming rates predicted to quadruple by 2090 if we don't mitigate climate change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.